Hi, Pastor Rob here from City East Church and MTL Ministries. This sermon series is called Uncovering Religion. We live in a day where the world is saturated with contradictory faiths and beliefs. Can they all be right? Are they all wrong? As Christians, it is imperative that we understand something of what these religions teach and believe so that we can accurately discern right from wrong. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. And it's titled in the NIV, Love of Money. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and arguments that results in envy, quarrelling, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That is a very powerful section of scripture, isn't it? And it's very, very true. Written 2,000 years ago, but still applies so clearly today. It's not written by some caveman who didn't understand the modern world. He and Paul understood by the Spirit the modern world better than any man. And I even, just talking yesterday, a relative of mine running a big business, and he has pierced himself with many griefs. In the pursuit of, you know, a lot of money, he just can't rest. He wakes early with stress on his mind, just thinking, consumed with the thought of how am I going to get out of this pickle that I'm in today? You know, so the best we can have in this life is to be content, as in from a financial point, be content with what we have. How many people could you say are content with what they have today? Can you say, if people say to you, I'm content with what I have, I'm glad with what I've got, I don't need that much more. Today, with the level of consumerism is enormous. People just keep on wanting, and we are victims in this same world. So we fall into that whole thing of consumerism and wanting more and more and more. I was just listening to a sermon by Pastor Neil at the Unley Park Baptist Church. Really worthwhile listening to. He did one on consumerism and the power of consumerism in this day and age and what it has done in the church and in the world, and that it is still plaguing us continuously and getting worse by the day as well. So that's pretty well what Paul was talking about, wasn't it? In that scripture. I feel strongly led to do an expose upon a video and a book that was released in 2006 and immediately took the world by storm. I'm doing this because I had a chat with Jenny. Jenny's was handed a copy, had a read, and liked what she read. And I've actually read it, and when I read it, as being a Christian, I actually liked what I read. And I was copying videos and giving them to people and telling them to buy the book and read it and all that. Now, that was many years ago. Now, with a bit more insight, I can see just what the book's all about. And it's a very, very clever, deceptive trap that many Christians fall into because it sounds like it fits with what we believe, but it doesn't. And I'm going to, by the end of the sermon, you should understand how clearly it doesn't. The book, however, is in the top 100 list of international bestsellers, with over 19 million copies sold in that short time. There's quite a few other books that are ahead of it, but only within the top 100. One of them, the top-selling books or book series, is Harry Potter. I think it was 390 million. Absolutely huge. That's not counting movies and just books alone. It is huge, and we should do an expose on that book as well. Joe Schimmel has done one already, which is worthwhile having a read about how it's training children and leading them into witchcraft and wizardry. And it's the impact that that series is having on our youth could cause the next generation to be something that, who knows what they're going to look like. Something very evil. Something very, very dark and scary because of the volume of influence that that book has had on children today. Anyway, the book I'm talking about is called The Secret. And look what I have here. This is the book. We're like, we're going to burn it afterwards. Yes. They say that it cooks sausages really well.
Imagine the flames.
Imagine. Whoa. Just, watch out. All right. So when I first read this book and saw the video back in 2006, it grabbed my attention extremely. But something did not sit right with me spiritually, even though the ideal of what the book taught made me covet wealth, riches, prosperity of soul, and what promised by the author of the book. The thing with The Secret is, it's not that big a secret. Wealth creationists have been preaching this stuff for years. Anyone who, like Anthony Robbins, Robert Kiyosaki, Bob Proctor, Jim Rowan, Brian Tracy, Earl Nightingale, even Australia's Jamie McIntyre, they all reveal the secret. And the way I know that is because I've got all their discs. They're all saying the same thing. Famous books like The Master Key System by Charles Hainall, or Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, or The Secret of the Ages by Robert Collier, or Thoughts Are Things by Prentice Mulford, or The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, they all reveal the secret, or what the secret revealed. Linda Byrne has not revealed anything new, except she has packaged it in a desirable form and surrounded it with even more mystery and occultism. It's surrounded by occultism. I have many problems with these kinds of books, especially The Secret. One problem I have with this book is that as much as they might mention Christ in passing, it pushes and leads people into self-dependence and even dependence upon an unknown God named Universe, who is a personal genie who will give you whatever you ask, provided you hold the correct mindset. That's what it does. There's no God, a God that we have to repent to and get right with. It's a God that just gives you anything you want, as long as you hold the right thoughts. If we followed the teachings of The Secret to the letter, we will be driven away from a sound faith in Christ to a faith in self and in the universe. Within time, we will begin to covet more and more wealth, riches, and happiness from the universe, and will ultimately end up lost in a prosperity consciousness, just wanting to prosper, prospering of wealth, soul, whatever, what have you, health. These teachings resound so strongly in the church of today with prosperity preachers. That's the problem as well. What I read in The Secret, why it washed with me at the time was because I was under a ministry at the time. Vina and I and the kids were under a ministry where they taught prosperity. So it wasn't that far removed from what I already was getting used to hearing. But after years of contemplation and then the discovery of what I discovered through reading the old authors, the guys that had it all together many years ago, and then I wrote my book, God's Heart Cry for Revival, that's when I started to see very distinctly how different that mindset is to the mindset of a true Christian. I'm just going to quickly just again talk about why I'm doing this Uncovering Religion series and why I'm putting the book The Secret in as a religion is because to many people it is a religion now. All you got to do is come up with a new concept that no one's ever heard of, because most of these people have never read Think and Grow Rich or Thoughts Are Things or, The Secret of the Ages by Robert Collier. They don't read those books. So when they read The Secret, because you could buy it in Big W at a good price, they get totally sucked in, and then the next thing you know, they're preaching it. They are so passionate for it. They're preaching it to everyone they meet. And they hold to it and they read it and they, you know, like you would confess, you'd open it and they would fall to a page and it will say something that will strike you, as I used to as well. It would say something that I needed to hear that day. It's sort of a little bit like getting a star sign. Mm. That's what how it sort of works.
Yeah.
So I've decided to do this series for a real reason. Many Christians are extremely ignorant of the religions and views of this world. Due to this ignorance, many have been deceived by these religions and lured away from Christ. A lot of Christians will even try to tell you that our God is the same God that the Muslims believe and worship, or even the Hindus that they worship. I don't know how they tell you that, but they do. They believe it. Like I said before, because they find it attractive and they like it, they believe it. It's easy on the flesh, and it's got nothing to do with truth. All it's got to do with is it sounds good. Many very powerful and influential Christians have been deceived by these religions. In an effort to keep all of you and those of you listening via the internet upon the path of pure devotion to Christ, I will continue to uncover the religions and philosophies of this world, exposing their belief systems. Studying these religions will help us to be able to accurately discern truth from lies, to get a deeper appreciation for the solidness and sadness of our faith in the living Christ in comparison to the insubstantial state and harshness of these other religions and belief systems. It will also help us in witnessing to people who are in bondage to these beliefs. Once you know this stuff, if you've got a friend who's a Christian, especially with this book, The Secret, and your friend who's a Christian is into The Secret, you're going to have plenty of stuff to talk to them about. That's going to expose what the book's all about, and it will make, be able, you'll be able to make it very clear to them, this is not of God. This is some of the secret sayings. You're going to hear quite a bit of what's in The Secret today. This is on page one. It says, the secret gives you everything you want. The secret does. You can have, do, or be anything you want. You can have, do, or be anything you want. We can have whatever it is that we choose. I don't care how big it is. So we must notice that the author of this book makes it clear that the secret gives you everything you want, not God. The secret. Sounds a little bit like Satan offering riches and power to Jesus in the desert, doesn't it? In Luke 4:6, Satan said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Who's masquerading as a secret now? The secret really suits those who want to combine some kind of spiritual, esoteric teaching with a self-centered, you can have whatever you want, regardless of where it comes from, mentality. You can have whatever you want, regardless of where it comes from or who it comes from. This is the definition of the secret by Rhonda Byrne. This one's on page 25. The great secret of life is the law of attraction. The law of attraction says, like attracts like. So when you think a thought, you are also attracting like thoughts to you. She then illustrates, thoughts are magnetic and thoughts have a frequency. As you think thoughts, they are sent out into the universe and they magnetically attract all like things that are on the same frequency. Everything sent out returns to the source. You. Your current thoughts are creating your future life. What you think about the most or focus on the most will appear as your life. Okay, sounds nice, doesn't it? What you think about the most will appear in your life. And you know, essentially, what we think about does appear in our life. That's not a secret. The problem lies in where she gets all her things from and who she claims it's from. It's because of her thoughts that these things are coming to her. I'll continue. Is the secret Christian? The views promoted in the secret are contradictory to the Christian hope held out in the Bible. The secret promotes self-centered faith rather than a God-centered faith. The secret is all about how to achieve your own goals, how to increase your own wealth, how to attract all good things to yourself. The goal of life, according to The Secret, is self-indulgence and self-centeredness without them saying it. But that's what it is. And I've read many books like The Secret. They all teach the same thing. It's all about what you can get from the universe, whether it's money, whether it's prosperity of soul, whether it's health, anything. The problem is where it's coming from and what they're teaching. That is the problem. So Joe Vitale says, you are the masterpiece of your own life. You are the Michelangelo of your own life. The David you are sculpting is you. That's on page 23. Rhonda Byrne tells us on page 41, there is a truth deep down inside of you that has been waiting for you to discover it. And that truth is this, you deserve all good things life has to offer. All good things are your birthright. You are the creator of you. And the law of attraction is your magnificent tool to create whatever you want in your life. Welcome to the magic of life and the magnificence of you. Oh.
Could you imagine walking up in Baghdad? Okay. And you,
with the secret in hand.
You have the best, and they're looking at you going, no, I can't.
Yeah, maybe once we get these Americans.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it wouldn't.
Yeah. It doesn't wash everywhere. It only washes in a nation which is consumer-based. This only works. That's like prosperity preachers. They don't go and preach in third world countries. And when they do, they preach and deceive the people, and those people give everything that they own to the preachers, and the preachers leave with their pockets padded, you know, and these people are left in poverty, even more because of that preacher.
And then Christianity gets brought down.
People lose their faith and what have you, because what the preacher was preaching isn't true. I know someone who turned from the faith in Christ because he didn't become a millionaire. Because when he came to the Lord, that's what he was led to believe he'd become. He had those words spoken over his life by ministers. He was led to the Lord because of that. He became a Christian because he thought he was going to become wealthy. Total deception. Page 109 says, "You are the heir to the kingdom. Prosperity is your birthright, and you hold the key to more abundance in every area of your life than you can possibly imagine. You deserve every good thing you want, but you have to summon it into your life." What happens if that guy's a serial killer and that's what he wants? Does the secret work for him? Yes. This is the problem. It's not teaching a good moral code. It's just teaching you can have whatever you want. Regardless, that's a bit scary when you go saying this stuff to people. The secret is nothing more than a name it, claim it, positive confession, prosperity theology without God and without the Bible. Build on a foundation of new age self-deification. And deification means becoming a self-God. I am a God. All good things come to me. I am the center of the universe. The Bible says, and it reminds us that God in Jesus Christ is the creator, sustainer, and purpose for the universe. Paul reminds us that Christ has all of the preeminence in Colossians 1:18. In Hebrews, it explains that the only glory we humans have for ourselves is because of our identity with Christ. In Hebrews 2:10, it says, "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering." Paul tells us that the glory we receive in Christ is not self-indulgent. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. This is what our destiny is, to be conformed, because we're predestined. Our destiny is to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, we'll add. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified at a later time. So that is the purpose and destiny of all humans that are going to live for eternity and not be passed up at the end of this life. So the beliefs. The secret is not only self-centered, but it contains many beliefs contrary to Christianity, including pantheism, the impersonal nature of God. Impersonal meaning God is just the universe. He is everything. We are God because we're all part of that universe. And that the self is in some way divine. It promotes the inherent goodness of humanity and human salvation through good works. So it promotes good works. That's what it teaches. You've got to do good things. So that's the way they back themselves up. You know, we don't promote murder, but because we tell people that they should do good things. But how many people can continuously do good things?
And what do they define as good?
Where is the line in the sand that gets moved and shifted depending on your desires? Important Christian doctrines such as atonement, forgiveness, mercy, and grace are discarded in the secret. All suffering and evil is said to be natural products of self-determination, like the Eastern view of karma. Self-determination is the ability or right to make your own decisions without interference from others. So without anyone telling you what to do. So you don't pray to God and God then tells you what to do. You just make your own decisions without anyone else having any say. There is no such thing as being innocent yet suffering in the secret. If you're suffering, it's because you did something wrong or you attracted that thing to you. You're not innocent.
It's like in Job, where they were saying, you've done that.
No, I haven't. He was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
Or when Jesus and his disciples came across a blind man, and the disciples said to him, "Who sinned, him, this man or his father, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither. He was born like this so that the glory of God may be revealed in him." And then he touched him and healed him. And that's when the glory of God was revealed in him. But in the secret, anything that you have in your life is you brought it upon yourself. And that's not a good way to think about it. Because then you're constantly burdened with, you know, what did I do? How do I correct this now? And then when it's not getting corrected, you're thinking, well, I must be thinking terribly negative thoughts. Those who suffer have brought upon themselves the suffering by their own negative confession. You've read this, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
The secret's God is impersonal, and it is very confused about the nature of God. God is identified as consisting as of the law of attraction or even the universe. So that's what God is, the law of attraction. He's like an operation that occurs in the universe that we can move in and use for our own benefit. That's what God is in according to the secret. God is said to be like a genie who will give you whatever you ask. At other times, God is you, yourself, the God which you create through the use of the law of attraction. We cannot reconcile these views with God or with Christianity. So God is the law of attraction, God is the universe, God is a genie, and God is you. How many gods are we talking about now? The law of attraction is a law of nature. It is impersonal and it does not see good things or bad things. That's the secret. I'll say it again. The law of attraction is a law of nature. It is impersonal and it does not see good things or bad things. So what they're saying is the law of attraction is what gives you something. You use it and you receive from it. But it's impersonal. And it does not see good or bad things. So it'll give you a bad thing if you call on that, if you want that bad thing. If secretly you want that bad thing, you get it. Or it'll give you a good thing depending on the thought vibrations that you hold. That's pretty warped.
Yeah.
That's pretty warped. The law of attraction on page 27, it says, is a law of nature. It is impartial and impersonal. As the law of gravity is, it is precise and it is exact. So they've referred to the universe being God. They've referred to the universe being the law of attraction. And the law of attraction then is God. But then this God is impersonal, impartial. It's like the law, this God is just like gravity. It is precise and it exact. It gives you exactly what you summon. Trust the universe. This is page 57. Trust and believe and have faith. Why would you trust in an impersonal God? There's nothing to trust in. He's not a person to trust in. He's impersonal. He's impartial. What's the other word? Yeah, he's impersonal. He doesn't see good or bad things. He just gives you whatever you want. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The personal genie God. Not only is God impersonal, a law for self-gratification, nature and the universe, which is pantheism, he is also your own personal genie to grant you any wish you desire. The secret explains the genie as, it's on page 46, the genie has simply answered your every command. The genie is the law of attraction, and it is always present and always listening to everything you think, speak, and act. You are the master of the universe. They say this in the book. You are the master of the universe and the genie is there to serve you. The genie never questions your commands. Our God gives us according to his will. If we ask for the wrong thing, he won't give it to us. Or if we ask for something not in accordance with his will, not necessarily the wrong thing. You think it, and the genie immediately begins to leverage the universe through people, circumstances, and events to fulfill your wish. The secret is telling us that the genie, God, exists to serve us. That's what they're telling us. Joe Vitale says on page 48, this is really fun. It is like having the universe as your catalogue. You have the universe as your catalogue. Yeah, you go shopping there, you flip through it and say, I'd like to have this experience, I'd like to have that product, I'd like to have a person like that. It is you placing your order with the universe. It is really that easy. How has the world ever come to this? You are God. The secret makes it clear that you are your own God. You are your own creator. And the only significant being in all of existence. Get this. On page 41 it says, you are the creator of you. And the law of attraction is your magnificent tool. Now there God is talked about as a tool. To create whatever you want in your life. On page 76 it says, you are the creator of your life. And so begin by intentionally creating your day. The Secret Nowhere states that we were created by God to worship, serve, love, and obey God. It doesn't state that. Actually, Lisa Nichols promises on page 164, you are eternal life. You are God manifest in a human form, made to perfection. Man, if I'm perfect... I've done a bad job of creating myself. You know what I mean? You are eternal life. Yeah. You will live forever in one of two places.
Again, how do they say that to people that are, you know, clearly not eternal life? You know, it's clear that people have died.
That's right.
How do they?
They just believe that because they probably got the whole Hindu thing going where they just get reincarnated and live again.
It's
you
like
know.
A mix of the faiths, different faiths.
It is. It's westernized Hinduism.
21st century.
With wealth creation mindset stuff all added in there.
So I remember
there.
Reading it towards the end. I actually felt sick. Do
they believe in the dying
Jews? No. Their emphasis is on, I thought, monetary.
Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on wealth creation.
But I suppose really what it's doing, it's probably preying on the vulnerable.
Those that need it. And look, today, with debt spiralling out of control, everyone wants to find a way of making money.
Yeah. Just, I don't know if it's the way you're saying it, but the way it sounds like it's written, it's like you're saying, like it's, you can be this, you can,
it's
exactly
it's pretty
like
much.
The, and the prosperity preachers,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You accept Jesus and
well,
you will
it's,
be.
It does. It's that you are your own master with it, but...
And they're sort of assuming that at the moment you're not your own master, or you don't have, it's making a huge judgment. So it obviously is written.
Dangerous book.
Well, it's under the guise of spirituality.
Yeah.
So people feel a bit spiritual. They feel like they're actually getting closer to God and they've discovered God. He's the universe.
Well,
I worship the universe.
You know, you read it and you have one positive thing happen to you that day or the next day and you think, It's working.
Yeah.
That's how you get sucked in.
Well, that's how people get stuck into occultism too. If they read their daily star signs and they come out freaked out, you know.
Yeah.
Even remember your mum used to just muck around reading coffee cups. And then the people that were getting their coffee cups read by her were coming back and saying what you said took place.
My girlfriends would come to have coffee with mum to read their cups. And I couldn't believe it. This.
And they were getting freaked out because it was coming true. But it's like you can speak it and Satan then hears it and then can work events to make it happen. And that's why, because he wants us deceived by this stuff. He doesn't want us worshipping Jesus. If he has to pull a few strings, you can see what he did to Job. He had the power to pull Job's life down, destroy his homes, destroy his cattle, destroy his children, destroy him, put sores all over him. But the Bible clearly shows that it was Satan that did it. So here's the power to pull strings so that someone can become very, very wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what happened to rock musicians. they're preaching Satan and they're becoming extremely wealthy. Got all they want. They got women. They got money. They got homes and lifestyles that, you know, people admire. But they don't have Jesus. And as long as they don't have Jesus, Satan doesn't care if they live well, because he knows ultimately they're going to burn.
Well, it's like he was offering Jesus everything.
Mm.
And, I mean, I don't know if we'd live, we'll know the answer one day, but he might have even been able to do that.
He definitely is, because the Bible clearly says he is the God of this world.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so he has the power. Yeah. He has the power to make people rich and wealthy and incredibly famous. Look at what he did for Elvis Presley. You know, I must let you see the video documentary. They sold their souls for rock and roll. It's really eye-opening, unbelievable. Now I'll continue on. Page 164 says, "You are God in a physical body." I thought Jesus was God in a physical body, and we're not gods. We are humans in physical bodies. But no, Byrne goes and changes that and says, "You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificence. You are the creator, and you are creating the creation of you on this planet." If that is not sinful enough to claim to be God, Rhonda Byrne continues, "You will be the power, you will be the perfection, you will be the intelligence, you will be the love, you will be the joy. The earth turns on its orbit for you. The ocean ebbs and flows for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Every beautiful thing you see, every wondrous thing you can experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you." Get that? None of this can exist without you. I'm sorry. If I depart, it will continue to exist without me.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
I know it may seem like I'm holding all this together. But I'm pretty sure if I leave, this room will stay here.
Yeah.
Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now you know the secret. Mm. Satan's just whispered it in your ear. It's at that time.
It's really corny, isn't it?
It's there. I can. 183. That's where I was just reading. Let's open it there.
My question. You know how they're saying, "You are this, you are..." They have no proof. Like, there's no, I'm saying this because of the Bible. But that's the way people think nowadays. They don't have to have...
No, the Bible doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, they just need to be told it, like the star sign. You know, where are you getting that eye? Thought, you know?
But the thing is with this, though, you know, she's made a fortune from the
Bible. Yeah.
She has, and the people in it, there's about a dozen of them, isn't
it? Made a fortune.
So, you know, the vulnerable, as I say, there's lots of us.
That's right.
You know, if, you know, be it illness or whatever, you pick this one and say, "She's got success, hasn't she? You know, through positive thinking."
Mm.
That's what she's aiming. Mm. You know, she's saying,
exactly.
You think positively, you get positive vibes back.
But yep.
When you're vulnerable, it's just so easy to fall into the trap.
That's right. You can think positively, but God's, you've got to have God there.
Absolutely.
Mm. God wants us to be.
Ultimately, it comes down to God's will,
right.
Not man's will. And what's going to happen is going to happen because God will allow it to happen. And we might not understand why he allows what he allows, but he will one day explain it, because it's like he's fitting us all into a jigsaw, and we have to be a certain shape to fit in, and we have to achieve a certain thing. You know, explain why someone like Keith Green, who was making such giant inroads for the faith, and was incredibly successful in reaching people, and he had a message of repentance. He came down in a plane crash. We can't explain why God allowed that to happen. But in eternity, he's going to show how that was caused more the effect that he wanted than if he had lived. Just like Jesus had to be removed from the earth. Anyone would think, leave Jesus here. Surely, if Jesus stays for 1,000 years, you know, well, the whole world will be converted. But God knew that in his wisdom that it probably wouldn't have worked like that. Even when you read about the 1,000 years of peace talked about in the Bible, and there's 1,000 years and people are at peace, Jesus is living on the planet, even after that time, prophetically, that a huge portion of the world will follow Satan and come and attack the city of God, assuming that in their new great technology they could take God down. And God will destroy them by fire at that time. So even with Jesus on this planet and 1,000 years of peace, multitudes will go astray and will walk away from Christ and will reject him. And that's a period or an era to come. We have not yet entered that period. Just be glad you're born on this side of it too. Because those born on this side will enter into the first resurrection, and blessed are they that enter in. Those born on that side of it could be those that are going to be deceived and led astray at that time. According to the secret, there is no such thing as right or wrong, good or evil. There are just unalterable laws of the universe working themselves out in people who create their own reality through their own thoughts. By this reasoning, those who appear to be successful and happy are so because they have used the law of attraction to their own advantage. It doesn't matter if they're happy and successful, yet they're part of the mafia and have killed men to gain all their wealth, and they're now successful and happy in their little lives. It doesn't matter about that. They've just used the laws correctly. Those who appear to be suffering and sorrowful have become that way by their own self-destructive use of the law of attraction. Burns states, the law of attraction doesn't care whether you perceive something to be good or bad. Sorry, God does care whether you perceive something to be good or bad. But she's saying the law of attraction doesn't care. Or whether you don't want it or you want it, it's responding to your thoughts. You get what you deserve. I've titled this little section. Bob Doyle says, the only reason people do not have what they want is because they are thinking more about what they don't want than what they do want. Byrne adds, the law of attraction is a law of nature. It is impersonal, and it does not see good things or bad things. It is receiving your thoughts and reflecting back to you those thoughts as your life experience. The law of attraction simply gives you whatever it is you are thinking about. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Byrne is claiming that the God of the universe is irrational and is not morally concerned and will give you whatever you attract. Byrne's universal God sounds more like Satan than the God in the Bible. Quite a clear description. If you want to get a description of who Satan is, read The Secret. But you know what? Satan is a liar. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning, and he is a liar. He's a liar, full stop. And that book is a lie. It sounds like he wants to give you the earth. He wants to give you the universe. He wants you to be center of the universe. It's a lie. Truth is, you can't. You are not God. You are not your own creator. The universe doesn't revolve around you. When it comes down to it, you're insignificant. The only thing that gives us significance is Christ. It's Christ in us that gives us significance, not our own positive thoughts. If one adopts the philosophy of The Secret, one comes to the conclusion that anyone who is victimized must have attracted it through their thoughts. Byrne explains, often when people first hear this part of The Secret, they recall events in history where masses of lives were lost. And they find it incomprehensible that so many people could have attracted themselves to this event. By the law of attraction, they had to be on the same frequency as the event. Well, of course, they're in the event. Little baby on that frequency? No, I don't think so. They were just there. They were caught in the event. But she's saying they were on the same frequency. Those thoughts of fear, well, of course they had thoughts of fear. There was planes going overhead with bombs coming out of them. You know, there were soldiers pointing guns at them because the guy who was leading them believed the secret that he should have everything he wants, and he wanted this part of the world. So he's coming in and exterminating everybody. So one guy wants something, and these guys have to suffer, not because they attracted it, because they're there. And each even says they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Not very bright.
No, it's just, it's all masked.
Yeah.
with occultism and feel good message make you want it, because and then you feel good getting told you're the center of the universe and the world, the whole universe revolves around you. It makes you feel I'm a bit special now.
When you're in that,
I believe the secret, I'm special.
Psychology, you probably sort of skip over bits like that. You don't sort of read them in the different light, like you say.
Yeah, that's right.
You probably, if it's so good here, you go, oh, that must be,
yeah. You just keep turning the page. That didn't quite wash, but I'm not going to dwell on it too long. I'll get to the good stuff again. There is no other explanation for evil and human suffering according to the secret. In page 28, it said, nothing can come into your experience unless you summon it through persistent thought. How could you say the Jews summoned what happened to them through persistent thought? How can you say that? You know, what about those kids just playing merrily in the garden, just having a really good time, laughing, joking, and then all of a sudden, you know, a plane crashes into their property and kills them? Did they summon that plane out of the sky, did they? No. The secret claims thoughts to be greater than prayer. There's the problem. It claims that our thoughts are greater than prayer. The secret's impersonal, self-centered focus is very much like the ancient Hindus' law of karma, that the wheel of debt and credit turns eternally as souls progress cyclically through punishment and reward. Page 36, it says, just like the law of gravity, the law of attraction never slips up. There are no exclusions to the law of attraction. If something came to you, you drew it with prolonged thought. The law of attraction is precise. So the core message of the secret is egotism. Yourself and your own desires override everything else in existence. Even gratitude, as stated in the secret, is not gratitude to our loving Heavenly Father for his life he has given us, his preserving power, his forgiveness, mercy and grace. Byrne quotes Wallace Waddles saying, the daily practice of gratitude is one of the conduits by which your wealth will come to you. So when you are when you're showing gratitude, it's a way of drawing wealth to you. When you show true gratitude to God, you shouldn't be wanting anything. When you go up to your friend and say, thank you for, you know, being there for me, you don't want her to pull out $1,000, do you? Well, it would be nice, but if that were... yeah, when I said thank you, didn't give me $1,000. But that's not your intention, is it? No, it would be nice, yeah. But you go up and say thank you to someone and they say, gee, thanks. And just their appreciation of you showing appreciation is all you want.
Yes.
So on page 108 it says, when you think you don't have enough to give, start giving. As you demonstrate faith in giving, the law of attraction will give you more to give. So it's all about the giving itself, not about who you're giving to. The ultimate twist to our Lord's plan of redemption centered in Christ, the secret creates a counterfeit Jesus. The only comment in all of the materials about Jesus Christ is this. This is what he says on page 109. There is another quote too. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses and Jesus were not only prosperity teachers, but also millionaires themselves with more affluent lifestyles than many present-day millionaires could conceive of. I know Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, yeah, they did have a fair bit of dough. And Moses. Jesus, they say, the offering that he received from the Magi was quite considerable in earthly dollars.
We just got to remember that God does bless us too.
Burns concludes, you are the heir to the kingdom. Prosperity is your birthright and you hold the key to more abundance in every area of your life than you can possibly imagine. You deserve every good thing you want, but you have to summon it into your life. In contrast, the Jesus in the Bible was self-sacrificing, humble and compassionate. I'm just going to cut to the chase. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came for the purpose of reconciling men to God. And he said this, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. In all this, when we surrender to the Lord, we will find the true meaning of life. Is that right? When you give your life to God, you've found the true meaning of life. He will help you through your hardships. He will help you in your daily affairs. You don't start thinking, and I think it's an insult to God to start trying to magnetize $1 million to yourself and then get upset with God when it doesn't happen. Or pray for that sort of wealth. I think that's an insult to God. The Bible clearly says to become content with whatever the circumstances. In Philippians 4:11 it says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being, he's learned the secret, of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. We should be content in all circumstances. When we reject the self-indulgence of the secret for devotion to God, our focus will be completely different. We should meditate upon whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And in doing so, we will experience the peace of God, which transcends all understanding and which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's Philippians 4:7-9. So.